Hello and welcome back to the Hypocritic Podcast. I'm Steven. Joining me today is Trent Miller, Nick Jones, and my brother in studio, Preston Estrada. And we are the Hypocritics, Hypocritical Critics of Cinema. We love these movies, and each week we pick our own movie, dive into stats and facts, do a trivia section. Follow us on the Instagram at Hypocritic_podcast, and throw us a 5 stars in a review on that platform. You guys, some shit went down. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on stage. So we're getting into this. We want to get into this on the pod. We want to get into it so bad that we're just going to kind of continue on because we got to talk about it. This week, we're doing King Richard.
King Richard.
King Richard.
Richard
King
Parker.
Richard. Richard, dude. I'm so glad you said that because it was there.
It was there.
Listen to Life of Pi for that reference. But all right, boys, let's get into the sauce. There's too much sauce. Let's get into it. I'm ready to get lost in it.
Back at it. Hypocritic podcast.
Hypocritic podcast. Before we get into the slap of the century, Nick, how was your week? What you been up to?
Oh, it was great, you know. Got some studio time actually booked this weekend. I got 2 days planned tomorrow and Sunday. We're going to go in and record a couple songs, so that'll be fun. Got a good deal, like going through kind of a friend of a friend, because we were like reaching out to a bunch of studios and just getting like absurd quotes for songs. So we got this guy to hook us up and not like overcharge us. Like a lot of people like charge by the hour, and this guy's just like, I'll charge you per the project, basically, like however long it takes.
Are you hiring him as an engineer? Because some studios will give you better rates if you go in as your own engineer.
Yeah, he's gonna engineer, mix, master, like all of it.
Oh, nice. Is it like a home studio?
Yeah, it's like an in-home studio. He's got like all the mics, all the gear. Nice. So yeah, just getting ready to that. We've been like practicing this week, trying to like play to like a click track, which we like rarely do. So that's been a little bit different. But got a little cold going on right now, so I'm gonna be a little nasally. No corona. Don't you worry, your boy had some home tests here, so everything looks good.
Okay, good.
But yeah. What about you? What about you, gents?
Trent? Strata boys. How about the Strata boys first?
The fly boys.
We'll clean up shop over here.
Okay.
We want to hear about your life, Trent.
I haven't been doing shit. So Strata boys. No. Okay. I was saying earlier, the dog here, Atlas, turns one tomorrow officially.
Ooh. Oh, tomorrow! Very
Tell
cool.
Tell her happy birthday.
April 2nd.
Birthday to Atlas.
To you. So she's full grown. Nick, you were asking about that. I think she should be. Mm-hmm. And we still have a lot of work to do. Let's put it that way. Her obedience is subpar. She could learn a thing or two about a thing or two. And we're getting there slowly,
so
chipping away at it. But she's so cute. Love her to death. She's a part of I couldn't imagine life without her now. You know, it's one of those things. It's so weird how that happens.
Is she pretty energetic?
Oh, yeah.
German short hairs.
So energetic. I have to ride the bike with her twice a day, morning and night, just to get like some energy out. It's not all the energy. But she's doing great. She's doing great. How about you guys? What's up with the Stratus?
What you been up to, Steven?
Well, me personally, I haven't been doing shit. No, I've been
too late. I've been sold it.
I've been doing the Amazon business. I've just been working and hanging out, and it's been very, very nice over here in Georgia. Beautiful, beautiful weather. Probably one of the nicest times of the year, and it's only for a small, brief window, but we're in the midst of that right now. Preston?
Yeah, we got that going on.
Nice.
Going on, too.
It's been a minute since I've been on, but I got to go boarding out in Colorado with my boy Nick over here.
Yeah.
We got a gnar shred day
in. That's right.
Copper Mountain was awesome. It was really fun out there.
He was shredding it.
It was really
nice.
It. I wish we got a little more dumpy with that snow, but no, it was really fun. Besides that, I've just been chilling. Been playing some golf lately. I got golf this weekend. We got our new nephew's baptism tomorrow. So
yeah, we're going to that. Me and Preston have been building these platforms for the back of the GX. building these two drawers. Pretty much we spent a fortune over at Home Depot, and we're building these pull-out drawer with the tabletop systems. And
it's like a sleeping platform. You can sleep on it, but it has storage. So, it's got a table.
So do you,
take, camp there and just pop open your...
Do you take them out when you're not camping? Like when you have the back seat and need Braylon?
They're
removable. Does it fold up? Or?
They're removable, but the way the design is that we're going to lock them into place. So it pretty much doubles your area back there. In fact, I used them just our rough model when we went on this overlanding trip recently on the Cahuta Loop. And I just put a queen mattress in the back of it, and it was so comfortable, and it was perfect. I was like, yes, success. Yeah, I can put a queen mattress in here.
Is that when y'all went, like, I think I saw pictures of y'all fishing, maybe, and stuff like that. Is that that trail?
Yeah. Yeah, we went fishing off the Blue Ridge. We talked it on a previous pod. We may release this pod first. That's been yet to determine, but there's been a lot that's gone on since this episode, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, well, this episode's just got a lot of current events going on. We got to get it out quick, you know, while it's still, you know, hot on the vine.
Yes, obviously, we wanted to do a collab pick, and we decided, you know, what better... Will Smith just slapped Chris Rock on stage. What better way to commemorate that in this ideal moment, or not ideal moment, but iconic moment in history that will live forever? We got to do King Richard because he accepted a Best Actor afterwards for this movie. So, and you know, it's funny. We'll get into it later, but it's already up on IMDb trivia, already there talking about the slap. Yes,
really?
And you know, I knew I was gonna find it doing the research, but it was so satisfying when I did see it. It was the very last one too. It doesn't have that much traction yet, but we'll get into that later, guys. We got to talk about it. Will Smith.
Let's get into the meat and peas.
Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Academy Awards. Just happened.
Yeah, and it's been
What's the date? It's Friday. What is it?
It is April 1st.
All right.
We should set this. This is not an April Fool's joke.
Not an April Fool's joke. And before we get too deep, we should set the stage, because unless you've been living under a Chris Rock, you know what I'm saying?
Nick, you dirty dog.
I've been storing that one all week, waiting to pull that one out. But unless you've been living under a Chris Rock, the Academy Awards were earlier this week. When? Sunday? Saturday?
Yep.
Monday.
I think it was Sunday. Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much a week ago. It's been a week.
It was Sunday.
It's been about a week. We've kind of been following all the press clippings here pretty closely, but essentially what happened was Will Smith interrupted Chris Rock while he was in the midst of kind of telling some jokes. You know, in Oscars fashion, these comedians always go up and kind of roast everyone in the audience. It's not unique to this Oscars. Like, if you've ever watched an Oscars, every actor who is relevant at the time is going to get some sort of jokes, you know, thrown their way. So Chris Rock essentially throws a little bit of shade towards Jada Pinkett Smith in relation to this G.I. Jane movie that is, I guess, a G.I. Jane 2 movie that's coming out, basically inferring that because she's bald, essentially, she's going to be, you know,
Nick, she's going to be
the character in the next movie.
You're fondling my dick right now. Let's get it right.
It's actually not a movie coming out, by the way.
All right.
The joke was G.I. Jane 2. I can't wait to see it. And yes, it's because she's bald.
Right.
She's got this. It's because of a...
It's called alopecia.
It's called alopecia. It's because of a disease. And yeah, so Will Smith was immediately offended. They were both offended, and he walks up on stage, slaps
him. Will Smith immediately offended,
though?
He didn't look offended until he looked at her.
Now, was she immediately offended? Because I haven't really dissected it. In fact, I haven't even listened to his whole acceptance.
She was annoyed, and she like rolled her eyes.
He laughed. He straight up laughed. Looked over at her.
He laughed. He realized he needed to go up on stage and slap Chris Rock. He realized he basically saw.
I don't know what is going on there, but absolutely. It's such an iconic moment. I remember waking up. I didn't watch it. I know you guys were watching it. And I woke
Not
up
live.
The next morning, and it was all over social media. And I was like, oh my God. And I saw it. And at first I thought it was a, It looked like a skit. I mean, I feel like majority of people thought that this was a skit. Or it was, you know.
Yeah.
And then he says, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth really loud. And you're like, oh, shit, this isn't a skit. It's not a skit.
Right. No, not a skit at all. No.
Right. Yeah, he says it twice. And what's crazy is even the director of the Academy Awards, basically, he even said, I watched an interview earlier today, he didn't know it was real until Chris Rock came off stage and he was like, yo, Rock, like, did that actually happen? Was that legit? And he was just like, yeah, I'm in shock right now, essentially. So the Academy didn't even know it was legit until he came off. And there's so many angles of this story. I was reading into it today. There was a story that...
Or go ahead.
What's up? I was going to say there was a story that came out today about how, like... So some sources say that the Academy asked Will to leave after it happened, but Will's camp is denying that and saying that Chris's camp basically encouraged him to stay, and they were like, we don't want to press charges, we don't want to remove this guy from the building. So the Academy's saying one story, like, yeah, we asked this guy to leave, and I don't know if they're trying to cover their ass and be like, yeah, we did the right thing, we tried to ask him to leave, or if they're like, you know, they're backtracking right now, because both sides are saying different things.
Have I been so on top of a story. I was telling you guys this earlier. Like, I've seen the slap from so many angles. I even saw one recently from the back of their heads. So you can see.
I saw that watching so much film on this.
Because you can't even see really Jada's reaction, like, after she rolls her eyes. And once he goes up there, you kind of miss it on live TV. But you can see her reaction on the back of their heads a little bit, and she's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like she was laughing almost, pressing a little bit.
Yeah, that's what
it was.
I
uncomfortable
saw.
It was, yeah. Odd. It wasn't like a reaction you would normally have, which makes you think it might be like a skit or something, but it clearly was not. Just to give my two cents here real quick, it sucks a little bit for me, because I know you guys are too, but I'm a huge Will Smith fan. Yep, and after this, and after being able to digest it a couple days, you know, you're like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. But also, like, it just, like, kind of, I watched this movie in a different way as I, like, look at Will Smith as he's acting. Like, totally. I see him in Pursuit of Happiness. I see him in Hitch. I see him in all these I Am Legend. And I have this, like, rose-colored glasses, right? And now It's, like, fucking tainted watching King Richard. It is for me. I don't know.
It really
maybe
is.
Maybe that's now, right or wrong. But
now, I'll say I watched King Richard before this happened, obviously. Really, really loved it. I still love the movie. He does really, really good in it, but yeah, that's kind of in the back of your mind, and obviously this just happened, so it's really fresh. But just like you, Trent, I'm a big fan. I've read his book. There's a lot of things I guess he doesn't talk about in his book, even though it's a fairly lengthy book, and he goes into a lot, especially about his childhood and getting all the way up to the Fresh Prince. And, you know, he was a Grammy winning rapper before he ever got on Fresh Prince, which I think a lot of people forget or don't know, but Grammy winning rapper, he was touring with people. I mean, like, he was DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. And then he went on to make the Fresh Prince and went all this crazy success. real quick before I give my two cents. So yeah, like Nick mentioned, they claim to ask him to leave. He doesn't leave. He accepts Best Actor Award for this movie, King Richard, while crying and kind of giving some bullshit about why he feels he's justified for it. Gets a standing ovation. The thing that I have, this is where I stand. All right, I understand, like, whatever, emotions get into it, you slap the guy. Okay. First of all, leave. You leave. You don't stay. You don't sit back down. You don't get a drink. You don't accept your Best Actor Award, and you don't give a speech. You just leave. Or you get arrested, like the rest of us would have been. Or you get arrested. Right. Or someone comes over and forces you out, escorts you out.
Security.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy to think that, like, Hollywood is such a fucking joke. I'm gonna say it. I'll be the first one to say it. Hollywood, like, I mean, we love these movies, but Hollywood is such a fucking joke sometimes. Always, like, claiming to be, you know, on the right side of history and, you know, trying to tell everyone how to live. And then this kind of stuff happens. And then it's like, you're all a fucking joke. And just like, obviously, Will Smith is like one of the most powerful people in Hollywood. And apparently it's a double standard and he can get away with this kind of stuff that, you know, pretty much anyone else that had done that would not have went down that way. Guarantee you.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the audience went up and did that. It would have not ended like that. He would have not sat down. This dude was winning Best Actor, and they had to do damage control on site, I feel. But I think the Academy really fucked up. I don't, like I said, if he wants to get to that point, slap him, like whatever. I don't know what's going through his mind, what's between them and their relationship. Sounds like a lot from what you guys have told me recently. I didn't know anything about that. He doesn't go into it in his book. So, and I don't really keep up with stuff like that. I don't watch her talks or anything. Go ahead.
Can I just say one more thing? I think that everything after the show and everything afterwards is all like not even them. It's all PR, right? Everything after is PR. Right. What you saw on his stage when he accepted the award, that was like how he actually felt about the situation. Like that, those are the words coming from him. Nobody really giving him like advice in his ear. I think everything post,
except for Denzel Washington,
has been his PR team, has been Jada's PR team, has been everything like watered down, right? Everything that you saw on stage was what he actually felt and who he was actually apologizing to. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up, but I want to hear Preston and Nick here.
I agree. It's like, it is pretty disheartening as like growing up as a childhood fan of his. Like I mentioned to you guys earlier, I don't view this as like a complete deal breaker for me being a fan of his work in the future. And I'm very curious to see what happens in his career. I've heard some podcasts talk about this where they're like, what movie's going to cast him after this? Like, it may be a while before he can kind of get back on the circuit. It may be years before he's in another movie. I think he will rebound. This doesn't taint my view of him that much in the sense, like, I feel like there are some people in Hollywood who have way more controversy, sexual scandals, all that. I think he's in a really tough place, mm-hmm. like mental health wise, emotionally with his relationship. He made a super poor decision on national TV. He was still fired up about it afterwards, gave it the most like stubborn apology ever. Didn't even apologize to Chris Rock until afterwards. Like, to your point, Trent, probably his PR team made him do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it sucks. It's a shitty move for him. And I think it's going to like really hurt his career in the long run. But I'm still going to watch his movies, and yeah, it is kind of a different perspective a little bit. It was so weird because I wanted to watch a new movie. I started watching this movie the day of the Oscars. We were watching the Oscars. we shut it off halfway. We're like, let's start King Richard. Start watching King Richard, watched half of it. I wake up the next morning and Rachel's like, did you hear that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock? I was like, I have no idea. Watched the whole thing, and I was like, well, I was like, I still got to finish this movie. So I watched the second half of it, and I'm watching the second half of it, and it's just so funny. But one other thing before I let Preston jump in is I thought it was so ironic that he was almost like, it was almost like he was trying to act as if he was King Richard. Yeah. And that's the thing is he says is when he's coming up, the first thing he's just like, says something to the extent of like, oh, I guess I'm like being like, you know, King Richard right now, you know, standing up for my family. Dude. And it's like, dude, you're not King
and
Richard. That's a character.
That's such a
fucking scapegoat.
That's such a shitty thing to say when you're about to win an award for a movie that they did about the Williams sisters and their father. And obviously the Williams sisters signed off on this movie and they, you know, gave their consent. But, it's just crazy. I think, like you said, Nick, I love Will Smith as an actor, and this is just J.K. Rowling all over again. I mean, she said something. I don't even know what she said, but she got canceled, and now it's like you can't even say her name without being crucified anymore. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I think it was something with lesbians, or I believe
it doesn't
LGBTQ.
Matter. I'm just saying these people are getting canceled for whatever it is, and then it's like, you know, and there's even like, you know, Johnny Depp and stuff, and those are obviously different, worse things. But I mean, this is still just the same. Like, there's so many people that lost respect for him,
and that like you like are gonna watch his movies in a different way, or maybe not even watch them at all anymore. Who knows if he can get cast? I think he'll definitely play in other movies. But I also have this theory: one, still possibly a publicity stunt. I haven't completely ruled it out. Two, Will Smith might not give a fuck anymore. I mean, dudes make so much money. And he's at an age now where he's playing an old man.
Jada has broken him down. That is my thoughts. But I, just yeah, like you guys.
Preston, get in there.
You and Trent play tennis for a second on this.
Papa. No, just like you guys. I mean, he's one of my favorite actors. I've loved him from Fresh Prince. I mean, through all of his movies. And I think he's a really great actor. I don't think he's going to have trouble finding much work. I don't know if it's going to have that kind of effect, but... No, it was kind of crazy, too, how after, like, everybody was split on this. Like, there's a lot of arguments that started coming out. You're arguing with your friends. Mm-hmm. These celebrities are arguing with each other over who was right. Yeah. And it sounds like we're all on the Will Smith camp. We're all on the Chris Rock camp, my bad. We think what Will Smith did wasn't the greatest thing. I understand both sides.
Dude, Chris,
Chris Rock got
like standing ovations at his most recent comedy show, and he was like, not ready to talk about this yet. I'm still processing it.
Yeah, I saw
but
that.
Apparently he was almost in tears because he was getting like standing ovations on stage. Like he's definitely coming across as like the hero because he kept that show together. He could have lashed out and like made that so much worse, and he like took it on the chin literally, and then like in Chris Rock fashion made it comedic, saved the show. The show still went on. Otherwise, the show could have tanked. And like, you got to think, this is like people's biggest moments, like life achievements. And Will Smith just selfishly fucked it for so many people.
But
like, so many people's moments are going to be overshadowed by this.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's going to overshadow everything. By the way, Chris Rock's tour sold more tickets in that 24 hours since the slap than it did the entire time.
Wow.
So definitely.
Well, obviously, people wanted to see him talk about it. And I saw he came on a stage and he's like, "How was your weekend?" And he's like, he was like, "I'm still processing this." Like,
just
I don't really know what
does
happened.
Anybody have a wife with a medical condition I need to know about?
Oh my god!
No, but
and the audacity for Will Smith, that video of him dancing with his Oscar after the show, singing, rapping "Wild Wild West." I'm like, one, you're a shitty rapper. I'm sorry, and two, like. Dude, how are you just going to act like nothing just fucking happened? Like, that's like erratic behavior. That's like somebody who does that is not okay, like, mentally.
What are y'all's thoughts on Jada Pinkett Smith's influence? And a lot of people think she's toxic, she's manipulative, she's a narcissist, she's broken him down. We all know the story, she banged her son's rapper friend who's in his 20s.
Not her son, but her son's
and then
friend.
she wanted her and her husband Will Smith to get on and publicize the entire thing. I mean, that's you can see it in Will's face if you guys have seen
that
interview.
Talking about the Scientology.
It's hard to watch. He does not want to be talking about that, obviously. Oh yeah,
I didn't know about the Scientology. I didn't even know.
You all know about the Scientology?
I was reading some stuff on that.
All right. Let me get this dance. So I was reading this story about it, and granted, I can't confirm these stories. They're not factually true, but I don't know why these rumors would come out for like no reason. So here's some like main evidence about this. So a Scientology whistleblower came out and basically said that like Jada was like pretty deep in the church and she couldn't confirm that Will was a part of it, but like she 100% confirmed like Jada was in the church. And then another thing was apparently they were having these like quote unquote like get togethers at their household where like, you know, 20 plus kids would come over, and it was almost like a pyramid scheme where like they wouldn't tell you what you're, you know, you like go to these networking events and they don't really tell you what's going on, but they like all these kids showed up to their house. And they never like directly said like this is a Scientology like get together, but apparently one of the kids got a book from her that was like from the founding Scientology member about like the secret book of Scientology or whatever, and she confirms like Jada gave me this book, And Jada and Will have both like come out and said like, oh, we're not a part of it, but we've always been like open-minded, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, dude, what? Like, you have
that's
the Scientology
exactly what I
book,
heard.
But you're not a Scientologist?
Why are there so many celebrities into fucking Scientology?
Now, people study religion. That's not uncommon for someone to study
right,
Hinduism,
but to have the Scientology book and then have like a whistleblower come out and say that she was like,
no,
deep
I know.
In the game.
I don't really care what anyone believes. That's not on my radar. Yeah, that toxic stuff about on the relationship. More so being public.
I don't either.
About
it just shows
it.
Her
think,
a little loony.
I think the fact, like you said, his face, like he doesn't want to be on camera talking about that kind of stuff. And Nick, you sent us some video earlier today of like just other interviews where he
the red table.
The red table where interview. He's on there talking about it. It's like he doesn't and obviously I do want to get back to the slap a little bit though, because we'll get I mean I read his book and he doesn't go into any of that stuff. He talks about at one point with Jada, he talks about how Tupac was kind of Tupac was like
yeah.
He could
influence.
Never talk to Tupac. No, not a big influence, but Jada was like with Tupac. Yeah, they were like her and Jada. Jada and Tupac were either really close friends or lovers at some point.
They weren't.
And
so I
Will Smith always felt like, you know, I don't know what the word is, but in Jada. His shadow kind of.
Okay, so I got a little bit more on this, Steven, since you brought it up. Jada, I'm pretty positive, was never like sexually involved with Tupac, but Jada did go out and I think believe that Tupac was like the ultimate like male archetype in her mind of like what a man is, and like and she had so much love for him that Will was kind of in a lot of ways jealous. I saw some interview where he said he was like jealous of the love that she
yeah,
had
jealous.
For Tupac.
She's probably
and,
here.
And so
what's
he
also
says that-
interesting go ahead, is Trent. That. Is that their daughter, there was a daughter's note, Willow, who said like, mommy misses you Tupac, like I wish you would come back so she could be happy and all of this stuff. And wow. The guy who was talking about it was like, why is Willow, their daughter, talking about Tupac in this way in a letter like this? You know, like there's just a lot of stuff that in their life
damn,
is so public anyways.
That.
She was probably hearing Will Smith's Wild Wild West rap and she's like, nah, this isn't it. I got
Tupac.
I mean,
you know,
it's
like
it.
What's
interesting.
I hate talking about it because I've
in his book when he starts talking about it, he just starts talking about how Jada would be crying a lot and things like that. Like he there was no background of what happened. He just kind of went into it, talked about the Tupac thing. And, you know, like I said, he was a rapper. So, like I think that was, like, a big deal in his mind. Like, oh, like, Tupac is a fucking better rapper than me. Like, he's, like, a legend rapper. And, like,
yeah,
that's kind of, like, I feel like in her eyes, I'm just, like, this kind of lame, like, you know, actor kind of guy. And, like, Tupac is a legend that's, you know, now dead and everything. But I think he doesn't
talk
about...
Who got the better end of that deal?
He doesn't talk about any of the affairs or anything. He doesn't talk about any of that kind of stuff. He kind of just, I think overall, I feel like he just kind of glosses over a lot
as
of that
he,
kind
as
of
he
stuff.
Should,
but,
as he should,
yeah.
Like,
no, and yeah, I agree,
as he should.
But,
I would too,
but to make it public and stuff. And, you know, to get back to the Chris Rock slap, we don't have to stay on this all day, but I feel like the Academy really failed Chris. Cause I feel like he's hosted many times and he got slapped on stage and it's like no one did anything. It's like if anyone's like the most pissed, I feel like it'd be him. And it'd be like, listen, yeah. Like I get it, Will Smith slapped me. Is anyone gonna fucking do anything? Or am I gonna sit up here with a goddamn mic all night? Like
right.
It's just,
and look like embarrassed and humiliated. I mean, it comes down to was the humiliation of Chris getting slapped like that justified in the joke that he told, like in the humiliation he gave to Jaden.
Right.
Let's I mean,
also
that's what it
say,
comes down to.
No, it doesn't matter.
Let's also
matter,
say is like we don't know what's also a really interesting like plot twist in this is they have confirmed he did not write the joke. He has writers on his team who apparently wrote the joke, and we don't know for sure if he knew about her alopecia, which I do think makes a big difference. I would like to think that you wouldn't joke about that if you knew for sure, but comics will go, you know, below the belts from time to time, but I think that's a really interesting spin. The only other thing I'll say about the relationship, like I'm not here to like bash Jada or like really judge her, because I feel like it's a little bit ambiguous. Like, did they have an open relationship? Were they apart when this when this entanglement happened with August. Like, all that is a little bit unclear, but clearly he was upset about it and didn't know it had happened. And he kind of said during the Red Table thing, like, oh, I'm going to get you back. And she's like, oh, you already got me back.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, kind of making it sound like he had slept around, like, too. So I don't think he's, like, a perfect angel either.
Oh,
I just think the ultimate takeaway is they had a really shitty relationship. They're going through a lot of stuff publicly. He was probably extremely sensitive about it all. Chris Rock triggered him, pressed a button that he didn't want to hear. It sounded like he was okay hearing it until he looked over at her. It was Jada's reaction that set him off.
I know, but what is going on? What's going on mentally?
That's the speculation. That's the speculation.
I know, but it's like everything I'm hearing is like where he should just be like, all right, fuck you. I'm out of here. We're done. And he says that in the interview when he had with her. He's like, I almost never talked to you again. That was almost the last time you ever talked to me. And it was like, why would you do that for a woman that is so clearly like, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, we don't know the ins and outs, but I mean, there's definitely something going on mentally there. And like you said, whether the slap was he was justified or not, I don't think he was. But that's not even the argument. The argument was afterwards. Why the fuck didn't anything happen?
It's a part of the argument.
It is, but it happened. So it's not like it doesn't matter if it was right or wrong. It obviously was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. That was wrong. Whether the joke was like too low below, I don't think anyone out there is going to be like. I mean, yeah, Chris
a lot of people
Roth
think
deserved
it was justified.
Dude, a lot of people
think Steven,
think
a lot
that.
Of people think it was
that's
justified.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude.
It's like split 50-50.
I know
it's
a lot of
so many.
It's I know,
I
know.
I don't
like, oh,
I don't
you got to protect your wife. Like, the thing is, if you're going to quote-unquote protect your wife, don't do what he did on the biggest stage in front of millions of people, completely cause this scene. Like, if it really bothered you that much, bite your tongue, wait for the moment, like, go talk to him backstage and be like, hey, man, like, man to man, I really didn't like that joke.
Yes.
That really was fucking... That's in a perfect world, he should have done that. I get it. But, like, he was emotionally triggered. But I don't think that justifies, like, oh, he was sticking up for his wife. Like, you got to do that. In that moment, it's like, no, you don't fucking hit a comedian on national television in front of that many
and you're
people.
Not protecting, you're not protecting her. You're
right.
Being violent. You're, if
you look
if,
like
if,
less of a man, in my opinion.
If Chris Rock was
that.
Coming at Jada with a mic, like a mallard... A mallet.
Mallard. A duck.
A mallard. Mallard.
Like a mallet. Like a hammer. Bird? Using his mic. If he was attacking Jada with a bird.
What an interesting weapon choice.
Will Smith has the right to get up and slap him in the face before he can hit her with the bird.
There are some guys. There are some women out there who get off to guys fighting for them. You know, like this stuff might be what's going on, and who knows? I know we're all speculating here, and it's just interesting because they're celebrities, they're so famous, and this whole thing is public anyways. So like, we want to speculate anyways. But girls do get off on this stuff sometimes. So
I've
that
also
could be
heard.
An element.
I've heard the argument too that I've heard some people say, if I was Chris Rock, I would have rather been punched than slapped because being bitch slapped is even more of like a fuck you embarrassment thing. Like that's what like.
What if he got knocked
like
out
degrading.
With a punch?
No, what if there was what if there was blood? What if Chris Rock retaliated? I mean,
and if it was a punch,
I'm just saying like
right.
Apparently there's a stigma around like
I don't
being
care.
He's the bigger man.
There's a thing that like if someone just comes up to you and slaps you like. I think I would just go into a defensive mode and start fighting just to defend myself.
What did
you know?
You guys
But Chris
see,
Rock is also like 50 pounds smaller than Will Smith. And that's the thing,
exactly.
too, is I've heard people be like, would he have done that if fucking The Rock was up there or Joe Rogan or another
Hell
big,
no.
like,
Hell
strong
no.
guy? Like, no, exactly. I don't think he would have.
You
got to
be
that's
ready.
What makes it more, that's what makes it more kind of like just...
Gross.
Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you wouldn't have done that if it was a bigger guy than you. I don't think he would have, because he would have got his ass.
Did you guys see, I was going to say, did
he's
you
not
guys
in Muhammad
see,
Ali shape anymore.
Nah, but I was going to say, did you guys see Chris Rock's react? Like, the gears were turning. He's like, ooh, I could, he like said that, then he stopped himself. You could see that he was, like,
that.
He, obviously,
first off,
everybody knows about the entanglement. So he's just got a ton of ammo he can obviously just unleash, but he was the bigger man. He kind of composed himself. But you could see him like think about it for a minute. He's like,
before we get off the subject, I saw that Jim Carrey did this interview where he was speaking on it, and he said, if it were me, you would have woken up the next morning and saw that I was suing Will Smith for $200 million, because that's out there. But then it shows this clip of Jim Carrey accepting an award, an Oscar award, and he goes up and he just lays the biggest kiss on this woman. Like, holds her head and just, on stage. Now, okay, I didn't know if I sent that to you guys or not. That's not violent, but it's still just as inappropriate as a slap.
That's like anything these days where it's like somebody comes out, criticizes somebody for a choice that they made. Then they're like, oh, we're going to go dig up everything in your background and find something scandalous you did before. Like, I saw stuff come up about Will Smith. Apparently, he said some like controversial jokes before during award ceremonies. It's like anyone who comes out against one topic or one takes a stance in an argument, they're like, we're going to dig through all of your shit.
There's a video of him making fun of this bald guy on a like a talk show. He's like making fun of the host.
That's what it is.
He's like poking fun at him. And this is like probably late 90s or so, but...
No, like I said, it's definitely not the joke. It's whatever's going on in their relationship or... I don't know, but guys, we got to get into this freaking movie, guys.
Everybody's a hypocritic.
I mean, we already need a new Zoom call. King Richard... Let's get into it.
All right, let's do it. Preston looking good over here.
All right, stats and facts.
Stitties and facts.
King Richard. Stitties and titties. King Richard. And this movie, as it... is in the title, it's a look at how tennis superstars Venus and Serena Williams become who they are after the coaching of their father, Richard Williams. Now, it's about Serena and Venus, but it's focused on Richard. Richard Parker. Don't not confuse with Richard Parker. This is Richard Williams. 2021, PG-13, and a drama. We all know Will Smith loves some fucking drama, am I right?
Will Smith does love the drama.
He loves starting dramas. 2 hours, 24 minutes, long movie, but, you know, it was worth it. September 2nd of 2021. Rotten Tomatoes, 91%.
91.
Early 91. In the gate.
Nice, wow. Nice.
Look at Nick with his damn
What was the Google
on.
Review?
I got Stella Shades, gangsta glasses on. Steven, is that all the ratings you got from the critics out there?
I also have IMDb.
Google is giving this a 76.
Look at Nick's.
Shout out Hereditary.
Keep going, Steven.
Shout out Hereditary. Can't see that on the video. Don't worry.
King Richard also got a 98% audience score from Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Yeah, I didn't when I pulled it up originally, I didn't see all the normal ratings I usually see. But I saw the budget 50 mil, box office 38.1 mil.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Wait, what was it?
What was the box office, Steven?
I think.
Well, I don't know, but I know when it came out, I was able to
box
watch
office
I was
was
able
38.1.
To stream it immediately. I think because of COVID, it wasn't able to go to theaters.
That's what I think.
So it went straight to streaming platforms. That's how I first watched it. When it first came out, I just bought it. And
You can get it on HBO if you're curious.
Can you really?
That's where I watched it.
I will say this.
That's where I watched it.
I did buy this.
I did too.
I did buy this movie on
you did?
It was Prime. You could rent it. Yeah, you could rent it for $5 or buy it for $10. I was like, I'm going to buy it for $10.
Or you could get it on HBO.
I bought it too. So I saw
this. Yeah, I've got HBO, so I just watched it.
I had the same process where I was like, I can either buy it for five or rent it for $5 or buy it for $10. I think it was even like maybe $6.
Pretty good movie to have in the arsenal, so
yeah, it's not bad. I was like, I had seen it once before, so I knew I liked it. I wasn't going in blind. But
I will say Venus has 5 Wimbledon championships, 2 US Opens. Serena's got 24 Grand Slams. Steven, this might be a 5 for 5 question. Sorry if I'm stealing your thunder. Both.
We'll get to it. I have some questions.
Serena has 7 Wimbledon wins too.
Very decorated. So this is Will Smith's fourth biopic after Ali, The Pursuit of Happiness, and Concussion.
Has anybody
seen Ali? Concussion is a great movie.
Have you guys seen Ali?
I'm not. I was going to ask you guys that.
I have seen it. I haven't seen it all the way through to the end, but I have seen it a lot. I'm always blown away that Ali...
Yeah, did you like it?
Muhammad Ali is the brother of... who's his brother?
Or you tell us.
Prince Ali?
No, his brother is Nelson Mandela.
What?
What? No, dude. No, fake
Wait,
news.
Wait,
what? We need to fact check.
I remember they're friends. They were friends. I don't...
So tell us if you liked it, and I'll look that up.
I remember there is a picture of him and Nelson
Ramen,
Mandela.
His brother is Ramen Ali.
Yeah, I don't think they're brothers. Ramen.
That's what I'm saying.
The fuck is Ramen?
So no, who he's always with
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they're brothers.
Who's in the movie?
Though.
Who's his brother in the movie? Or who's the guy who's always in the movie?
I haven't seen the movie.
Steven, you're the only one that's seen the movie.
I have, like I said, I haven't seen it all the way through.
His brother's Ramen Ali.
I'm gonna look at the Ali cast real quick.
Oh my goodness!
Just so I can clarify.
His, well, why
his
you do that?
Brother's
I've been
like Martin
I've been
Luther
wanting
King
to watch
Jr.
This
it's like,
oh, Malcolm X.
No, dude, no way.
Oh wait, no. I thought it was
Steven. Dude,
let's put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that.
Someone is yelling.
The chat section
is yelling
fucking throwing you to the wolves right now, dude.
Yeah, dude. I'm talking about how much you don't know about Muhammad Ali after watching his movie.
Let's continue on, tell us about the reviews.
He already did.
Oh, you went through each review?
Yeah, I already did.
Sidestep both y'all, and why don't we get into some facts about Serena and Venus.
He is very close to Malcolm X in the movie.
Yeah, that might be true.
Is it Malcolm X?
I don't think it's Malcolm X. He's very close to Malcolm X in the movie. I don't know. I thought it was his brother.
They
talk a lot.
Did you know Serena was born in Michigan? I didn't realize that. But she learned tennis in L.A. Yeah. Turned professional in 1995, 1 year after her sister Venus.
I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, I didn't know they were from Compton until this movie.
The story was like all about Venus, and I'm not a big like tennis savant by any means. I'll watch like the big matches if they're on, but I always assumed Serena was like the star, and I guess she ended up being. You know, he has that quote about, you know, Venus is the best. What it is, he basically says that she's the best right now, but you're going to be like the greatest of all time.
Of all time.
He says Serena's going to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he said.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I always thought Serena would have been kind of like the alpha, and Venus would have been kind of like in her shadow. I didn't know it was the other way around, at least growing up.
It also says, as a thank you to the cast, Will Smith divided his $40 million earnings from the movie amongst the other actors as bonuses.
That's nice.
For them.
Oh, I do like that. That's a good one. That's a good fact.
And there is this fact at the very bottom. It says, during the Academy Awards ceremony on March 27, 2020, Will Smith infamously slapped presenter Chris Rock and shot a profanity at him. After the latter had made a joke at his wife's expense, Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett. It's so funny. It goes on. It's like
also
a little paragraph, and it's the very bottom one. If you guys see it. Let's put some likes on that. Let's bump that up to the top, yeah?
We need to thank Japan for... if it wasn't for Japan, we wouldn't have got the uncensored version. So thank you, Japan, for leaking that. Do you guys know that?
No, I didn't
know
that.
That was the country of Japan, Nick,
that did that?
So thank you all of Japan.
How live is it? I mean, are they like delayed at least 30 seconds to a minute, I'd imagine, so they could add that bleep?
Yeah, it was definitely delayed a little
so
bit.
So apparently... Apparently, King Richard was on a blacklist in 2018, which is a list of well-received unproduced screenplays. In fact, I heard a podcast with the director, and he had originally got the script, and at the time, the family hadn't signed off onto it. Nick, your fucking mustache. Jesus Christ.
What, dude? Keep going.
He got the script, and I guess the family hadn't signed off on it, so he was like, call me back, you know, when they did. They called him back. apparently he was doing another project and he wasn't able to get there, and he was like, well, listen, hopefully you know, things change the schedule wise and I can, and thankfully I guess for him it did, and they were able to get him on as a director. And they it's because it's really about Richard, and I don't know if the sisters wanted it to be more of like that, but because I apparently at the time this was really big in the media that he was like this crazy dad. It was like this crazy dad era, because similar Tiger Woods' dad.
Yeah, that I got
Tiger Woods' dad, and I've been waiting for that fucking movie. Me personally, I would love to see that movie, but because I didn't know that,
Have you seen that?
Is there a Tiger Woods movie?
Yeah, there's an HBO documentary.
No, not a documentary. I meant like a movie like this.
It's
yeah,
like a Hollywood version of that. Now, and there's people that hate biopics.
It's a big. I don't know. You should check it out.
There's people that hate biopics exactly and love like documentaries, and then there's people vice versa that don't like documentaries and love biopics. I really love a good biopic. I like to see what Hollywood can really do as far as, you know, putting you in that area, seeing and smelling, or and almost like seeing and smelling and touching everything. You know, you just feel like you're there. They really bring you
smelling King Richard
like to the scene,
smelling him, smelling his BO.
You felt California, sweaty. You felt Compton, and then you also felt Florida, and we're all familiar with Florida. And it was funny. They're like, "Oh, this is beautiful." I'm like, "You just came from California."
I will say that's.
I liked how that was.
Like, we love it. That's
right.
I liked how that was his car.
Yeah, I did like that too. That's the one thing about like books that I feel like, not to get too off track, but that's the one thing about books that I feel like is really good. Is it really sets this scene of like how the air smells, what the weather's like, all that. You can show that in a movie, like it's sunny California and they're playing tennis, but when you have it like described to you in such detail, like in a book, that like makes it so much more like tangible to me. But the other thing I was gonna say about, did you guys, you probably didn't catch this joke because of everything that was like overshadowed with the slap, but there was an earlier joke. I can't remember if it was Chris Rock or Amy Schumer who said it. That was like, "Yeah, it was great to watch a movie about Venus and Serena's dad. Like, really glad I got to learn about their dad and nothing about the daughters or something." Like, like how the whole movie was basically like centered around the dad. I can't do the joke justice. I was actually trying to pull it up, but it was so funny.
I said
though, it's because at the time I think their dad was like this crazy dad in the media that everyone was like, you know, even the you see this neighbors were getting onto him, calling the police or whatever, saying like mistreating the daughters, like they're out there in the rain. But now to his point, the director was saying that they really wanted to capture like why he was doing these kind of things, because a lot of people will say he's a really hard dad, but they do live in Compton, and at the time it's fucking hardcore. Compton is no joke. Yeah. Like, he's absolutely right. If he were to let his daughters run around, they could very easily end up in trouble.
Yeah, Steven, I saw a thing here that was talking about, like, did you do the fact versus fiction on this like you like to do? Because there's a whole article here about...
No, I didn't, but if you could get into that, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's like, did Richard actually see a gang member get shot in front of him?
What does it say?
Probably not.
After the beating, Richard takes the gun. It says, according to Richard's memoir, he did start taking a 12-gauge pump shotgun to the courts, which made the gang scatter.
So I was talking to...
But I don't know that he actually
saw. That's interesting. I'd like to verify if that was true, because...
Wait, what?
I thought... I was talking to Rachel about that, and I was like, this must have happened because they're basically inferring that he was about to go kill somebody. Like, he brought the gun. He was approaching that guy, and it's like... Yeah. I don't think they would make that claim that he was about to kill somebody unless it actually happened. But at the same time, like, if it did actually happen, would you want that, like, getting out that your dad almost, like, committed murder? Like, that's kind of a deep thing.
Now,
I was wondering that.
I will say he also had, like, pretty much another family that he kind of, like, left.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, spill the tea.
Well, they kind of alluded to that when they were talking about the other kids. I'm not saying... When he was arguing with his wife about, like, his other kids.
Yeah, they bring it up, and... yeah, so it is kind of, you know... He is kind of a crazy dad, but he also did have this vision. I think he was like, I can play tennis really well. that's pretty much, you know, the only thing I could teach these girls how to do. And if I get them doing it young enough and we train all the time, you know, they'll be better than everyone else because no one else is going to be training their daughters all the time. So I get where he's coming from, and it's, you know, it's not too surprising that he knows how to play Tiger Woods too.
Did he know how to play tennis? Like, did
they were
like,
college, I was wondering they were that athletes, too. Apparently,
the dad.
I don't know if they played tennis, but they were both athletes.
The thing is, at around this time, is they were both a lot older, so they could coach the girls, but only to an extent. They couldn't be as fast as the other people. Like, they're trying to coach these girls professionals, and you got to be against professionals to learn how to play professionally. You know, so they're like they did everything they could, and now they're at a point where like, all right, now we're too old. We're not as fast. We gotta like put these girls on. And you can see even the video. Did you guys watch the very end?
Yeah.
It goes after the end credits. It shows the actual footage. Because he was always recording with his
camera. That was one of my favorite parts, actually. I like that.
No, so you saw him. He was out there. He was an older guy when they were relatively young. I mean, and they were young doing this. I mean, I think she was 14 when she wins that huge huge champion against, or she loses against, barely loses against the best player in the world, you know, that scene at the very, very end. I think she was only 14 or something.
She got iced.
I thought it was so interesting. Like, these type of people really interest me, where it's like, you are so focused and motivated. Like, I don't think they would have been as successful if it wasn't for him, like, really keeping them on that path. I think they were talented and would have been great regardless. But I find it so interesting when people don't really like make the most out of their lives, and then they just flip the switch when they have kids and they're like, you're gonna be great, I'm gonna make you great. It's like, you would have thought if he was that focused and determined, he would have been very successful too, but he wasn't, you know? So it's like, where does that come from? Like, is it just from a point of like, I didn't make enough out of my life, I feel like I could have done more, I want my kids to be so successful, so I'm gonna push them so hard?
It was probably his kids that were like the motivation to get him to put. And I got right here actually on the same article that he was watching the French Open on TV, and he saw the winner receive a $40,000 check, prompting him to tell his wife, "We'll have two kids and we'll become rich. They're going to be tennis players." So apparently, he had like the plan written out.
I read that too. He actually says that in the movie at one point. He mentions that in the movie. I will say though, even though he's radical, I mean. And you could say for whatever reason, like if he's trying to like live through them almost, that might be it. But I think overall there was like this underlying thing that he was like, one, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be really, really strict on these girls. Because like you said, he probably had a lot of different, he had a lot of kids, and maybe he saw a lot of his kids get taken into like the gang life and stuff like that. And then maybe he had these two girls and was like, all right, fuck that. Like, I'm not letting any of this happen. I'm going to train these girls every day. I'm going to be super strict to where they're never going to step out of line and get out. Because, I mean, once they get out there, I mean, they're out there and, like, they could be with the gangs and stuff, and, you could never see them again, or, you know, you could they're just – once they're older, you know, you don't want them to be at 18 and just, like, you know, leave you. But at one point the mother does say, you know, like, one day she might leave you. So, you know, be careful, you know, what you do now, because you've been training these girls all the way up till now, and these are their lives. It's not your life. These are their lives. Yeah. So I think there was that big underlying thing of that we live in Compton and I'm keeping these girls off the street. Right. There's no question about it. Whatever we do, if this is what I have to do to like push them in the right direction somewhere, at least to where maybe they can get scholarships. And you see, he makes them get straight A's, all this kind of stuff. He has all these rules. He doesn't even take the first offer. He's fucking waiting for the Masters.
He didn't even take the
second
offer.
He's holding out for the motherfucking
Masters. I should bring
this
up. So this article is pretty good. It's slate.com if anybody's interested. But he also goes into what you're talking about, Steven. He had five children, three boys and two girls from an earlier marriage in 65. It's kind of a little
five children
here.
From a different marriage?
Yeah, it sounds like, and it sounds a little
good lore. They had like six themselves. Or
yeah,
she had
I
five
would have,
themselves.
I would have
so,
loved to
so
have
apparently,
heard.
I think.
So he had 10 kids?
So between them two, three of them were hers. Or three of them were from separate marriages. I don't know the combination, but between them two, I think those were his two daughters were Serena and Venus, specifically were Will's or were Richard's daughters specifically, and the other three weren't his daughters. I don't think. I think they were the mothers. Came from the mothers.
Although in the film he repeatedly tells us,
I think she had three daughters, and he had those two daughters. And then they were just living together.
Oh, well, Steven, I thought you said he had children from a previous marriage.
Well, he did. No, I think there was like five.
Venus, you're saying. Okay, my bad.
Actually had five children from an earlier marriage. That's what it says. Yeah. And then it says, although in the film he repeatedly tells his family that he will always be there for them and will not abandon them the way his father did him, in reality, he walked away from his first family when all five children were under eight and had no further contact with them subsequently. That's what this article's saying.
Seems so he did have five kids before.
Yeah, so he had five kids before.
And
apparently.
Then Venus and Serena,
then
maybe?
Venus and Serena. And then he, obviously, these other three daughters that were living with him, with his
one,
wife.
One more thing that's interesting from this article that I, and then I can get
man, this guy's
it,
pumping
but apparently he did walk away from the Nike deal. But was vindicated thereafter with the Reebok deal. So that did actually occur.
I'm glad you brought that back up because I really want to talk about this, the deals, because we always talk about this with the Ray movies and all that, and I'm sure Steven will have a question about it. I love analyzing these sales guys' like pitches because I find this shit so interesting because like I've worked in sales before. I guess I kind of still work in sales, but I loved kind of analyzing the different guys' tactics. Like the Nike guy he turned down when he makes the offer and they're basically like, I want some time to think about it, basically, and he pulls out just the old school ass bullshit where he's just like, well, you gotta sign to like gotta sign today. This deal
by
is
tonight.
For today only.
Offer's only good for the
it
day.
It reminds me when I used to sell watches, my old school ass manager used to pull the same shit and he's like, when you quote somebody a best price, you tell them like, if they want to sleep on it, it may not be the same price tomorrow. And I feel like that's so outdated. And they fucking read through that sliminess like immediately. And then when they go to bring on Rick as a partner, as like their tennis coach, fucking Richard is like drilling him, and he's just like, well, I could go down the why don't I go down the street and ask, you know, so and so to be their coach. Like, I've heard really good things about him.
Nick is the other guy.
Whoever it is. Well, Rick is the guy they ended up signing. The guy from The Walking Dead.
Rick Macy.
Yeah, but I love that part where
the guy from The Walking Dead, Mr. John Byrne.
Yeah. So they're basically asking him like, why don't we just go down the street and sign with this guy? And he kind of makes his reason why. He's like, you know, you'll get more, you know, one-on-one instruction with me. But at the end of the day, if you want to go with him, like, I can't fault you for going with him. And we call that tactic in my old job dropping the rope, where it's like you're both pulling on the rope trying to get your way. And the best method sometimes is just like drop your end of the rope and just be like, hey, if you want to go with my competitor, like go for it. Like I'm not starving for this deal. Like if you want to like, and it kind of creates the illusion of like they have the chance, they have the choice now and you're not pressuring them. And then Richard immediately is just like, oh, I was just fucking with you. Like we're doing this deal. And I love that psychology.
No, but I love that. I'm glad you said that because that scene is so great because he is so like, he's like, well, you can go with him and you're not going to get him. You're going to get whatever trainer he's got, you know, but if you come with me, you're going to get me and I'm going to, you know, I'm giving you the full deal. Like I'll make 15% or whatever. And I'm like, wow, 15%. That's crazy. But like, he's like, I'm going to post you up and we're going to train and you're not going to have to worry about anything. You just go to school. But like, and I did like that because he was pretty much like, this is my argument. This is why you're getting the better deal, but I do understand if you're going to go with a competitor, which every salesman has to recognize that is always an option. And
it makes you look stronger
that he said,
in a way.
He said, well, he's like, if you want to go with Nick, like, you know, I understand. He's like, no, we want to go with you. I just wanted to hear you say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Because
we're going to go with you. I just wanted to hear you say that. Because when you hear someone say like, so these are the advantages and disadvantages, but yes, you know, I'm not going to just sit here and like keep telling you why you shouldn't do something. But like, if you want to do that, I mean, I understand, but you know, this is what I can.
Well, when you have
you.
Such a good product or service, you don't have to be desperate to keep like pitching somebody. At the end of the day, if you're confident in like what you're selling, it's just like, here's what it is. It's on the table. If you want it, take it or leave it, but no pressure. Like you could go elsewhere. I'm not starving for this deal. But I also thought it was really interesting. It was like, he only makes 15% off their earnings. And when Richard ends up being like, I'm going to hold him out for a few years, like he doesn't even tell him. You could tell in his mind, he's just like, well, how the fuck am I going to make money if they're not playing tournaments? Like I only make money if they make money.
And he's paying.
So what am I supposed to
for like this house? Yeah, and everything. I'm
yeah, dude. And then he was totally taking advantage of it because he's just like, oh, can you go, you know, call a car, or like pick us up or whatever. He's like fronting all this money up front. But Richard also knew like we're worth it. Like everyone wants this. Everyone wants my daughters. Like you're gonna wait a few years and cash in then. But until then, you're gonna front all this money and you're gonna be patient. Like, God.
That's why I thought that the Nike deal scene was pretty funny because it's like it's $3 million. I mean, coming from where they came from, this is
and in the
like
90s
Rick was saying life changing money.
Yeah,
and she was just like, do you want to do it? And she was like, no. And he's like, okay, well, that's that. He's like, let's go get.
He's like, you guys want something to eat? Let's go get something to eat. You want
like,
a burger?
He's like, come on, Rick. You got to pay for my dinner now.
That's
he's like, come on, kids. Mr. Rick is buying us dinner.
Yeah, he's buying us dinner after he just turns down a $3 million deal.
No, but it's funny because you see him at the very end. They're walking down. All the people are cheering for Venus. And, like, she just lost. But, like, she's still, like, she went toe-to-toe with the best of the best. And that was her first, you know, people are just seeing this girl. And it's like, wow. And so they're all going crazy for her. And he's like, we got everyone talking about crazy deals, this left and right. He said, I'm going to tell them to go stuff it. He's like, no, no, no. I think we're going to talk to them now. I think we can talk to them now.
Yeah.
But he did. I mean, and it's hard to argue against him because, like, he saw that one girl, that one really successful girl get play. And she was they said she was getting burnt out and everything. And
Capriotti.
She was found with,
some
like,
drugs, yeah.
drugs or whatever. And yeah. He was like, that's not going to happen. So he's like, all right, we're going to go back to being kids. And like, you're going to just
Disneyland.
Do the school thing. And yeah, go to Disneyland and like all this kind of stuff. And I think he just wanted to like, he's like, she'll be ready to compete professionally. But right now she's still a kid. And like, I want to kind of like, you know, make stretched out as long as I can before she starts competing. Because I think he knew. He's like, once she starts competing professionally, like, she's going to be out there.
Totally.
She's going to be... like, you know, a name to be reckoned with.
It's a big risk not taking that Nike deal, though, because she could go out the next day and roll her ankle and be worth, you know, bupkis or something, potentially, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he said no and he took a chance on her his daughter, like, gonna make it, and it ended up working.
Is that how y'all think it actually played out? I don't know.
That is how it played out. Yeah, it says on here that the lawyer recalls. He said, I thought he was taking a serious gamble, but he proved us all wrong. That's what the lawyer thought.
No, but and exactly to his point, he was like, this offer ends as soon as you step on the court. And it's because they knew that once they saw her play and if she even came close to winning, because she won some sets against her, and that's all sponsors need to see to say,
her
holy shit, her value, the value's there.
Yeah,
she's on the court with the best in the world, and she won a set. Even if she just won one set, I'm like, all right, she's got potential. Put her, whatever, however much you got to pay her, get it, because everyone is going to be throwing deals at this girl.
Well,
and
she was winning. She won one set, and she was winning the second set.
I think all
girl.
She had to do was win one set against that
girl,
and
actually iced her?
She would have had.
So I love that scene, too, because it's kind of the first time during that Nike deal where he kind of like relinquishes control and gives her an option to, like, you know, he's like, you got to be pitching Venus, and she makes her own decision. And she kind of knew, like, once I step on the court, like, I'm going to be worth a lot more. And I love that quote where he tells her earlier, during like the training or whatever, he says, the most strongest, the most powerful, the most dangerous creature on this whole earth is a woman who knows how to think. Ain't nothing she can't do. So that was a cool, like,
good quote.
Cool kind of correlation there, you know. But
we can move on here a little bit, but we gotta talk about the mother too a lot, because she was a big role in that. I feel like she doesn't get nearly enough credit. I mean, she was, if anything, she was probably, like, you know, really keeping everything straight. Like, I mean, he was very radical, and I'm sure she kind of pumped the brakes on a lot of what was going on. You see, she was like, you're not driving away from the girls because you want to make them walk home.
Right.
Like, you're, I feel like she pumped the brakes on a lot of it and was still encouraging and that loving, gave that love, you know. But it was just crazy to see how to balance them out.
You know, that one scene where they fire the first coach who was like training with, like, you know, Pete Sampras or whoever, like those other famous stars. And he basically fires him without consulting anybody. And she was basically like, from now on, like, you're not making any fucking decisions without me.
and she definitely kind of brought him back to reality. But I do want to dive into more about her and favorite scenes, because there's a lot of good scenes between their relationship, and I feel like their relationship like made a lot of this movie for me, at least. But I do want to hop into that 5 for 5 soon.
So many cool cats in this place. Look at those.
Let's get after it, boys.
5 for 5.
Don't let me see anything.
You're not going to see nothing. All right, 5 for 5, where you have to answer 5 questions to receive $5 from Trent's bank account. All you have to do is get 4 of the 5 correct. All right?
Easy peasy.
Get comfortable here, okay?
No problem.
Get comfy there.
Let me get all snugged up over here. Okay. First question.
Snug it up.
Give it to
which
me.
Which of the following did her mother claim to fix for Serena? Was it her serve, her stance, her approach, or her forehand?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, good question.
Good question.
I think I know it.
I'm pretty locked in. I respect this question.
This is a conversation that her and Will are having, like, in the living room, and she's like talking to you about all this kind
of
stuff.
That question's just whiffling its way on over to me.
It's which of the following did the mother claim to fix for Serena? Was it from Richard messing it up, apparently?
Right.
Was it her serve, her stance, her approach, or forehand?
I think I know it.
Who wants to go first?
Trent, you look like you're struggling.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I remember that the stance was a big point of contention for the coach and Mr. Richard. But I don't think it was that. I think it was the serve, if I remember correctly.
Nick?
I'm also going with serve.
Preston.
It's serve.
It's the serve.
There we go. Yes, sir.
Thought you'd trick us with that open stance, not that close
and
stance.
The forearm and the approach. I like the approach.
Right.
That was good.
Okay.
Tricky.
All right.
Yeah, the approach was a good question. Almost had us.
Oh, shoot. You guys are going to get this one because you guys...
paid attention.
You guys have already mentioned it.
Because we're elite.
What phrase was used to describe when the opponent went to the bathroom? Was it cool down, icing, cold legs, or freeze?
Steve.
Cold legs. Oh, cold cuts, cold legs.
Cold legs.
I think we all know this
one. Yeah, come on.
All right, guys.
Wiffle ball.
All right, Nick, you know it?
Yeah.
I like your tactic there, Steven.
Nick's like, it's totally cold legs.
I respect. All right,
it's icing.
It's cold legs.
Yeah, Nick. It's totally cold legs. Ice in the kicker.
It could have been cool down.
It could have been
cool down.
Ice
okay.
in the kicker.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to get this one. What word was on the front of his van?
Oh,
easy peasy. Come on now. Come on.
You guys know this, too?
I mean, let's hear him, but yeah.
Price, Ponce, Prado, or Prince?
Come on now.
Nick looks a little unsure.
Nick doesn't know shit over
Nick
there. Nick, what is it?
Shit.
Stop covering your facial expressions with the.
I got my poker face on.
Come on, Nick.
What's that poker
read
face?
Read them one more time. I don't know it. I don't know.
Price,
for sure.
Ponce, Prado. Or Prince.
Nick, you gotta think about it. Think about it, Nick.
I mean, it makes sense that it would be Prince. So I'm going Prince.
Is that your final answer?
And that's a tennis brand, too. Yeah, so I'm going Prince.
Okay. What do you guys think it is?
Well, it's
Prince.
It's the Fresh Prince. It's gonna be riding in Prince.
That's not the reason, but I thought that was super interesting. Yeah, it was Prince.
It's a brand.
I was like, do you know Prince is a tennis brand,
yeah, it's
right?
Tennis brand.
It's a racket brand.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's on the
yeah.
front
That's
of his. It's on the front of
about.
His tire, or it's on the front. It's on the front yeah, of his tire cover on the front.
He did Price. He just tried to take out an N.
You got any brainbusters for us?
I think Trent at least knows this one. I
you got a blue crab in there?
Yeah, give us
a blue crab. Who
eventually signed Venus to a $12 million deal?
Ooh. Ooh, come on.
I know.
You should ask us the deal.
I mean, I already ruined it for you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about the number, and I thought that would be too boring.
I do know it. Nick, do you know it?
I'm pretty sure, but read out the answers.
Adidas, Nike, Reebok, or Fila?
Yeah, I'm going Reebok.
Thought it was K-Swiss.
Yeah, I thought it was K-Swiss, too.
K-Swiss got Venus.
Reebok.
It's Reebok. Come on with it. Give me that.
Oh, I thought these would be a little bit more difficult. You had to read that one.
Wiffle ball, Stevie.
All right, I hope the last one's the best.
That was at the end. You had to read
that. We all just won 5-for-5 on that single question.
Your girlfriend's had to
tell. Oh, yeah.
All right. You guys may have picked up on this, too. How many pages was his plan?
Ooh.
Okay, that's more like you, Steven.
Here's a brain buster. Okay.
I knew what it was, but it's actually literally.
I thought you were going to ask for a record.
It comes down to. The last question is really what it comes down to in this game. Fuck everything else. If you don't get the last question, you loses. You all loses. All right, how many pages was his plan? 56, 66, 78, or 88?
And this was mentioned?
I'm locked.
Yep.
All right, one more time with those answers.
I'm 56, 66, 78, 88.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm going with my gut. It's never failed me before, ever. I'm going A, 56.
T. Millie on the really.
I want to go with Steven's C answer because he likes to call out the C choice. I'm teetering. I want to do 88, my gut, but knowing Steven, he made it C answer choice. I'm going 78.
Smart Preston? Man, Trent. I knew the answer before. After this, because I looked it up, it's literally right on the screen in front of me. But I knew it before.
Oh my
Preston
gosh!
Cheated.
And yes, it's 78.
Yeah, boy.
It's right in the Google. It's in the Google about.
I thought that's a bit excessive.
Movie.
It's like, what it's is like he writing? I would love to see what he rambled on about. I feel
let's
on his
go,
plan.
Baby.
Maybe not. But I feel like the overall plan was practice tennis a fucking lot.
That's a long plan.
And then compete.
I mean,
that's a one page. That's a one page. You can do a very, very clean goal
it was
line.
Very detailed.
And,
feeling good.
It was like 18 was an 18-year plan.
All right. So let me. I had a couple. No, I guess that wouldn't have been.
Steven, you're boosting my confidence.
You guys remember? You guys remember her first coach?
Nick, you didn't make some backup questions.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, I remember her first coach. I was going to do that as a question.
Yeah, well, Pete Sampras.
No,
that wasn't
was
the
Paul
coach.
Cohen.
He coached
Paul
Pete
Cohen
Sampras,
coached
though.
Pete Sampras.
Oh, well, thank God I didn't fucking ask that question.
speak up, Mr. Cohen. Can't hear you. He's like recording.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Here, I got
all right,
a
let's
bonus.
Move on. DNC.
I got a bonus.
Oh, okay.
Give us something.
It's about the 94th Academy Awards, though.
Okay. Huh? Typical Trent question.
Okay. Who won Best Actress in the 94th Academy Awards?
Was that this year's?
Yeah, that was this year's.
I remember her, but I don't know her name. I remember her speech.
Okay, was it Vanessa Hudgens, Jane Campion, Ariana DeBose,
who?
Or Jessica Chastain?
Who?
Okay, I know it. One of you guys go.
I have no fucking clue.
I know two of them, and I don't think it's Vanessa Hudgens. I don't think she's done anything Oscar-worthy lately, or maybe ever. Jessica Chastain is the only other one I know, and I know who she is, the redhead. I don't know who the other two are, and it's probably going to be one of them for some weird reason.
All right, give it a guess.
I'll go Jessica Chastain.
Well, listen, while I am an expert on the subject, I'd like to go with the answer C.
Who was that, Steven? You don't even know. Jane
Listen,
Campion.
Listen, I have a strategy.
Jane Campion.
Yes. Yes, Jane Campion. That wasn't C. Very good.
What was Very C, good. Nick?
Whichever C was.
The Dubois one.
Oh, Ariana DuBois.
No, it wasn't. I mean, yes, or it was. It? Nick, thank you for that correction.
Ariana
it was
DuBois.
Okay. I remember the speech. I remember she was a Latin lady who like cried for her mom and like gave a. So she's actually one of the people that I feel bad for because she had a hell of a speech. It was really moving. Really liked it. And I'm like, you're just going to be completely overshadowed by this Chris Rock thing. But I'm pretty sure it was C, the DuBois.
Interesting, Nick. Okay, so she, trick question, she was best supporting actress. Ariana DuBois was a West Side Story. The correct answer was Well Done, Preston, and Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye, best actress.
Fuck.
Did not see that.
Very good, very good.
I guess we gotta see that.
I've got a quick Preston's bonus question one. I thought of from the movie.
All right, hurry up. Let's get the train rolling here.
Nick and his bonnet.
Where did Mr. Richard grow up? Where was he born?
Oh, I know this.
Oh, I know it.
I'm not going to
give you all
choices.
Steven,
you
He's
know
a bayou
that?
Boy. He's a bayou boy. He's a Cajun man.
Louisiana?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Nick, you blew
Shreveport.
It there.
Shreveport.
Yeah, you said Cajun man.
Cajun
I
man. Obviously
know.
Louisiana.
All right, well,
all right. That's place five for Cajun. Five this week. Thanks for playing.
Nick was trying
Thanks
to
for
wrap
your money,
that up
Steven.
Real quick.
Yeah, I'll take that money.
Yeah, yeah, you guys watch out for those Venmos because it's coming in hot.
You can slide in my Venmo DMs anytime you want.
Anytime.
It's coming in hot right after these messages from our sponsors. I'm going to use my phone for this one since the laptop is running Zoom.
No problem
Director
at all.
Director and cast of King Richard.
Director is Ronaldo.
Did you ever see
Marcus
Life of Pi?
Green.
No, I did not.
Well, the Indian boy in there is always talking to the light. He's going, Richard. Look at these fucking guys with their things. I can't do Zoom with these guys. They're just immature.
Can you add some for us?
All right, let's get into this.
You don't
worry about me. Fun. Don't worry about me, okay?
I'm just a little distracted.
I'm just doing my job always. Over here.
Yeah,
I'm a goddamn
Green.
Professional.
Yeah. Oh, you got okay.
The Ronaldo.
King Richard.
What else is he known for? He's not known for much.
Monsters and
credits.
Men.
Mm. Yeah, this is the only one I know.
He's got a Bob Marley biopic in pre-production. Steven likes him a good biopic.
Oh, that'd
apparently.
Be sick. This man fucks with biopics. We gotta say that.
Oh, dude, he's done some Top Boy. Top Boy's a good show on Netflix. Mm. It's similar to Snowfall.
Interesting.
Oh, really?
If y'all have seen Snowfall. Yeah, it's like,
I like Snowfall.
The UK version. In it.
I like Snowfall a lot.
Hmm.
I mean,
Will Smith took a nice chance with him. So did the Williams family.
Apparently was handpicked for the process.
Well, sounds like they lost some money.
There was a writer, but I feel like this was self-written, you know. Well, maybe he had the screenplay. His name's Zach Balin. And why don't we get into
Will
the Slapper.
Well, let's get
Daddy
into
Will?
Mr. Slap.
Mr. Will Slap.
Mr. Richard Williams. Because
you know they said Richard
okay, yeah,
Williams.
So we know,
Richard
repeat?
Williams. Serena Williams.
Repeat.
Isn't Venus it interesting we
Will
just did him on
Smith.
Bright? Steven?
What?
Yeah, we just did him.
Bright.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Great movie.
I totally forgot about that. People
Such a good
think,
movie.
We just did that. Going back
did
to that.
Did y'all like Bright?
They didn't like
magic,
it. I liked it.
Oh, we love the magic wand.
I thought it looked weird.
Since we all know his movies, you know, shout out Independence Day episode yeah. zero. We know all his
we
movies.
We know all
let's
his
go
movies.
Into, let's go into, should he get his Academy Award revoked? And then we can move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, let's get back to this conversation instead of talking about that.
Nay.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I Am Legend.
He put on a great performance.
No, the thing was,
movie.
Is I think he won it. Yes, he won. He won the Academy Award. He rightfully won it, right? You know, let's.
He
not,
won it before this.
That
happened,
was before
so
the slap.
Like,
yeah, the votes were in. It wasn't like votes were coming in and up until that moment. Like the votes were in. He won the Academy Award. Fine, he won the Academy Awards. He's resigned from the Academy Awards as of today. Yeah. That just came in right before we recorded. Right. So I don't know what that means exactly, but I don't think he'll be eligible for anything from now on until he probably hops back on after a great role as a really, really old man.
Yeah.
But going back to what I said, he might just be like, fuck it. I'm like getting near the end of my career. Or...
I don't think so.
No,
think he was
that's
just,
not what's
going to
happen. Absolutely not.
And whatever.
I don't know if he's able to.
Yeah, he's going to come
right,
back.
Let's move into.
Do you guys have a favorite
let's
Will
move
Smith
into
movie?
John Bernthal. He favorite is Will Smith most.
Wait, yeah, real quick. Let's
John
Bernthal. What's favorite Will Smith
what are we
movie?
Doing?
Favorite Will Smith
favorite
movie.
Favorite Will Smith
quick.
Movie. What's yours, Nick?
I would that's say it's got to be. Ooh, there's so many good ones. I think it's. I think it's Pursuit of Happiness or I Am Legend for me.
I was thinking I Am Legend. Pursuit of Happiness is good.
I really like Concussion. I don't think it's his best film, but I think it's a really, really underrated film for him. And he really shows his dynamic as an actor, I feel, in that movie. Because he can do the funny stuff and he can do the superhero stuff, obviously, but that role is neither, and he does a really, really fucking good job at playing a doctor. And I think that's really testament to his acting, but yeah, I'd have to say probably I Am Legend is overall the most badass movie he's in. And apparently they're making another one apparently.
Bad Boys is pretty hard.
That's going to be starring Will Smith. I don't understand how that happens when he sacrifices himself in the first one. But we'll see where that goes.
We'll
yeah,
to
and
see.
He's
maybe
got
it
a
comes
ton
back
just
to life, but I would say for
to
me
to put this to bed, he's oh, go ahead, Nick.
My early memories of Will Smith's movies are Men in Black and Bad Boys. And I wouldn't say they're necessarily my favorite, but like that's one of the Men in Black is one of the first movies that comes to mind. I don't think it's his best acted movie. I'd probably put like I Am Legend maybe up there. But yeah, I really like Men in Black too. I might have to pick it at some point. It's like
and
one
to,
of my, one
to
of
put
my
this
first
to,
childhood movies. Go ahead, Trent.
To put this to what we were talking about, is he going to come back? What's going to happen? He's literally got on IMDb 13 different movies in pre-production, post-production, announced. The guy's not going anywhere, clearly. So
he did a
or should he probably? He needs to keep going. He can't be canceled for this. Like that's ridiculous. But
yeah, these are also all movies that he's like kind of had in the process before all this happened, right? So. Maybe he just finishes
sure.
yeah. all of these and
we
then he
takes a few
years off. We can't
take you guys seriously because of your fucking filters. You don't understand.
What are you talking about, dude?
We're trying to
we're
listen
goddamn
to
professionals.
You, but I can't because I'm just looking at you and it's hard for me. If I,
this is my hat.
I'm the cheeseburger. I'm the cheeseburger.
You look like you're robbing
McDonald's. Hamburglar.
You guys are both look like Hamburglar.
Hamburglar. Yeah, we look like the Hamburglar.
So I'm like trying to watch. Is this better? I'm trying to look at you. I'm trying to look at you and listen to your deep thought. And I see the little hat and the little.
Much better.
Preston
is that
just
better?
Preston is just over here laughing. So.
All right, let's get into John Bernthal.
It really does distract. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, John Bernthal, Nick. I
all right, so he's most known for Wolf of Wall Street, Baby Driver, King Richard, The Accountant, a little show called Walking Dead that you might have heard of.
I love his character in this movie. I love that he's the happy, fun guy. You don't see him play this role, but he does a really good job at it, and I really like it. I loved his character.
I like his nerdy accent.
I love it. He was a very genuine character the whole way through. You think that when I first saw this movie, I thought he might be like an asshole because he's like the big runner of this place, but he was like very genuine, and you know, even though he wanted to accept the first deal, it wasn't like he was. Out of you know, see, I can't even think because Nick is just changing his.
Yeah, Steven, how Steven wasn't it interesting his role in
Steven? You lose your train of thought, anyways. It's fine.
You went from ski goggles to
who was he in Ford?
His role in Ford vs. Ferrari, Steven, was way different than this one. I like this his role in this a lot, like you were saying. It was like fun.
Yeah,
it was a fun acting.
Yeah, he, Ford versus Ferrari. He did have a good. He did have a good role in that too. A decent, more likable role. But I really liked that he had a really, really likable role, and he was just a good. He was just a good guy too, and he wasn't only putting that persona, but he was actually a genuine nice guy. That
he's a good actor. I really like him, and I was into The Walking Dead when
he
first got on.
Oh,
he was big at that time.
Same. That's when I first saw him. Another movie I saw recently with Rachel is a movie on Netflix called Unforgivable with Sandra Bullock. And he's in that movie as well. That's a really good movie. I might pick it.
Unforgivable waffle fries with the waffle fries?
Yeah.
For free. If anyone wants to see that, look up YouTube, Unforgivable. It's probably 2007. Somewhere around that time. We should briefly touch on, obviously, the girls. Saneya, Sydney.
Don't touch on the girls. That's inappropriate.
The guy in the woods. I was trying to remember the name of that video.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, let's speak on the girls. The girl actresses. The girl actors.
Okay.
Saneya, Sydney, she played...
What's her Venus. Serena? Wasn't she Muhammad she Ali's brother?
She was good.
Brother?
She did good.
Yeah, I thought the girls did good.
Yeah, no, Saneya Sydney was good. I don't... she was known for Hidden Figures. That's a big movie.
Fences with Fences, Denzel yeah. Washington. I'm not...
Oh, that. Fences. Yeah, that's a pretty dark movie.
Wait, 2016 Denzel Roots. Movie. I didn't know they did a remake of Roots.
It might be...
Oh, it was on the History Channel.
There's no way it's going to be as good as the first one. There's no way. If you guys have never seen the actual Roots miniseries, it's really fucking good.
Nope.
I'm sure.
It ages really well, too. Because it was old when I first started watching it. It's actually all on my laptop, but it's kind of...
So not too much, obviously.
All right, and that concludes 5 for 5 this week. It's been great.
You mean director in the, you mean director in the cast?
Or director cast.
Nick.
Yeah, you guys got any more pieces?
Nick is in a rush.
We're obviously
to get out.
We got a lot. We took a lot of time on the.
Oh
list.
Wait,
any,
one more.
Any other people worth mentioning?
Ooh, we got a Ray repeat.
What
we
is
got
that?
A Ray repeat?
Ray repeat from the mom.
Demi Singleton. She was Serena Williams. It? Very good actress.
I don't know how you. I'm gonna butcher this, but Miss Ellis, who was the mom, she was in Ray. She was in Red.
Oh, she was?
Cambridge. Yeah, it's in her known for.
Oh, she was in Undercover Brother. That's a great
she
movie.
She played Brandy.
Undercover Brother. Oh, that movie.
You've seen that movie?
So funny.
I just saw that recently,
really?
Actually. I literally watched that.
It's pretty funny.
Did she,
like a month
did
ago.
She play the woman that is trying to take advantage of Ray in the beginning?
I think
Remember
so. She plays Marianne Fisher.
She owns the club, I think, and then she's like trying to keep Ray there.
She's one
and
of the first... first women that he like hooks up with, I think. I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, if you can see my screen here, she's got this is her. She's actually the.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Okay.
This one. Yeah, so I think she was Steven.
No, I think that was a different woman. I think that was a woman that was singing with him. She's a different woman. I thought she was the one that was taken, that owned the club, that was taking advantage of her. But now that I see that picture, that's not her.
Gotcha.
But we should move on.
Well,
there's probably a lot that we're missing. We apologize. It's late Friday night. You know, we gotta get to sleep soon. Nick's tired.
Yeah, everybody. Been
skedaddle to the favorite scenes.
All right, favorite
scenes. I'm ready to get in the meat and peas.
The meat and peas.
Meat and potatoes. Meat and peas.
For M's and peas.
Meats and peas. That's a new name for it. Via Nick Jones. Favorite scenes is now called the Meats and Peas.
Courtesy.
It's more like meats and potatoes, you know? Not everyone's eating peas, but everyone's
eating
peas. When you first said that, I was thinking peas.
You know the rules.
I thought you meant the green, like green peas.
Nope.
So,
you know the rules, Steven.
Hot boy, no stop boy. I picked it, I caked it.
Kick it.
Kick it, football head.
So, a lot of good scenes. I haven't even really thought about which one is my favorite. But the ones that are surfacing right now, are just a lot of the intro scenes when they're really, you know, struggling, the gangs are coming by and causing problems. Did that really happen or not? I'm not sure, but those scenes were very powerful. And like, he's trying to keep his kids off the streets and they're like right there and he's got to defend it kind of firsthand to keep them away from his daughters and everything. The ending scene's obviously super heartwarming when she loses the match and she's really devastated and it feels like she would have won, but and then she walks out and then the whole crowd is just super excited to see her and everyone's going crazy and she's like, you know, the pretty much one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest tennis players in the world at that point. And she's, you know, kind of went from 0 to 100 really quick. But yeah, those are a couple of my favorites, you guys.
Poopsie?
Poops?
there's a lot of good scenes. I mean, a lot of it was kind of the same. But one of my favorite ones, I think, was when it's like raining out there and Venus really wants to play in the tournaments, or she wants to actually. And then they have that that heart to heart. Got a little water in the eyes, maybe. But no, that was a really powerful scene. Besides that, I really just liked all of the scenes with Mr. Richard. Just like all of his like little banter, like the "you got to speak up, Mr. Cohen," and then like the $3 million.
Yeah,
like all of his little jokes, and like sometimes they'd be dad jokes, but I just thought they were so funny coming from him. It was just so funny the way he delivered them.
Yeah, I liked Preston. He was like, "Wait. Wave bye to the dead people, the people that's gone."
Yeah, people that's gone.
Did y'all?
Yeah, he just had a
y'all
funny
catch
way
that joke that's gone. When he first sat down at the table with when it was at the country club, and I think it was like the cigar guy who he like farted in front of or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, did you guys take your hoods off before you came over here or something?"
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh my god."
Did he say that?
He's like, "I appreciate it." You know what's so funny, though? That's a scene where they kind of offer him a deal, and then he just goes like...
Yeah, like that, farts. That's what I'm talking about, like scenes like that.
And then he's like, "You know," he's like, "I'm going to go get in the pool." Yeah. He's like, "I'll see you later.
I just shit my pants. I got to go clean this up."
That's about it for me. Yeah. So what about you guys?
There was definitely quite a few in this movie. I really liked the scene where she's losing that tennis match, the first one she's losing, and it was like right after she turned down that Nike deal, and I think it was kind of in her head a little bit, and then she's playing that girl, and then she like flips that switch where I think her dad kind of comes over and like settles her down, and then you could just see she has like the eye of the tiger in her eyes, and she just like starts storming the net, just like smacking all these balls down, just completely dominates the second half of this match and wins. I really like that scene. And then even though it was a little bit like, I don't know, not confrontational, but oh, I guess it was confrontational, but not like the most like rosy scene, was kind of the argument he was getting in with his wife. And I think it was kind of like one of the most important parts of the movie, where the whole time he's like, "I'm looking out for her best interest. Like, I want to make her happy, blah, blah, blah." And then he kind of realizes he's being like hypocritical, and he's basically trying to like shelter her from like any adversity in life in a way. And is like trying to like plan out her whole life for her without giving her like the choice. Yeah. And his wife, they have that really like deep conversation, and she's like, "You just don't want them to end up like how you were," essentially. And I feel like it was just a big like light shone on like his character and motivation. And like he's basically afraid. Like he's doing all this because he's afraid that they're going to end up in the hood, that they're not going to like make something out of their lives. And I really like that scene where they're having that fight in the kitchen and they're like just really hashing it out. And that felt really real. Like I felt like that scene, and then the scene where the police come over to ask why like he was like taking her out in the rain. I feel like those were like the Oscar winning scenes from this movie.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And yeah, I thought that I totally blanked on that scene where the cops come. That was a great scene. Yeah. And then I'll go into mine. Okay, so I liked I like a good montage scene, you know, when they're like,
"Oh yeah,
okay, like let's get the montage scene of them in their white sneakers on the tennis court, hitting some bangers across, you know. They had a good they had a pretty good montage in this movie for sure on that. In terms of just in general, Will Smith does a good job with some of these movies where he picks ones where there's some like theme of like working hard and stuff, which I really resonate with. I love the like the signs they would put up in the court, like believing in themselves. And then the whole like notion of the like, if you don't have a plan, you know, plan to fail. If fail to plan, plan to fail.
Yeah.
Like some of that stuff, like I thought was a really, it just it was motivating to watch. So I thought all that, those were good scenes. And then, like you guys said, I mean, some of the scenes, I enjoyed the tennis coach a lot. I thought he did a really good job in this movie too. And then the Cinderella scene, making them watch it again and making it so that they're humble and not being braggadocious after winning a game against like who knows some no name,
which was so ironic because I feel like several times he was telling them like don't brag, be humble, and then there was times where he'd like look over at the other parents' dads during the game and he's just like he was kind of like subtly rubbing it a little bit, but not too over the top, but
he's like, you should tell her to take a couple more steps.
A couple more steps forward. Yeah. But another scene I just thought of that I really liked was when they first buy that RV, or they buy the RV for him, and they're like traveling across the country, and they're like spelling like Albuquerque in the car. And I was just like, this is such a like, I don't know, it just makes it look fun having like a real big family. And I'm sure it wasn't that peachy all the time. Like these daughters looked way too amazing. I mean, maybe they were this great, but they never showed them fighting, never showed them like bickering. It was like, how do you have five competitive daughters who are never arguing? Well, the thing
was, is I think it was important for the probably for the Williams sisters to like show that they're like, yeah, although our father was flawed and, you know, a lot of people don't agree with his decisions he made, we were happy through this, and, you know, it's not like we were suffering. We all had like a happy, and, you know, there's a bunch of five girls together. I mean, and like, you know, they're not even
sleeping two in the are same sisters bed.
And three are kind of, yeah, they're just a bunch of friends pretty much at that point, you know, and it's like, they're going to be having fun and getting wild. That's why, like when after they win the match and they're kind of having fun and joking around, it's like, just let them have fun and joke and laugh. You know, you don't have to like shut it down, you know? It's like you've been working all this time and you're going to just kind of shut it down because.
Yeah.
And they weren't even really bragging. You know, they were just, the sisters were just kind of talking some smack.
Yeah. I mean, you do want them to be humble. I think he was a little radical. Just the point they were trying to make. Like, you know, don't be an asshole. Like, treat your competitors, you know, graciously and stuff, which is a good, like, principle to kind of have in this. One question I do have for y'all, and maybe you caught this. I didn't understand why the like hood gang became cool with the family, which was another scene I liked. The coach coming to Compton and teaching or practicing with them in Compton.
Yeah, that was super fun.
He's just white.
That was a good scene.
He's like, no, don't worry, he's just white.
I'm not going to let them shoot you.
So don't worry, we won't let you get shot. No, he was So I think what had happened is you saw the black car, which was the gang that was always talking shit. But then you saw the silver car that looked very much Eazy-E, Ice Cube, frontwards hat, lowrider Compton, old school ass convertible top kind of thing. They're all four guys sitting there. So I think that was another gang. When Richard is going to kill that guy and then the other car pulls up and shoots the guys,
right.
I think they're kind of taking that turf at that point. And then they pull up to him. You see later on the new gang pulls up to him and he says, hey, we see what you're doing out here. You're good. Like, we're going to protect you out here.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's why when the white guy was walking up, the gang pulled up and they're like, hey, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Richard, is this guy with you? He's like, yeah, he's just white.
Yeah.
Come on. So when he pulled up, Steven, was he in the white car then? Is that what you're saying? And not that.
I think they were in the convertible. It was just another gang. It was a separate gang. It had a different car and now they were there.
Okay, gotcha.
So this, because you see one scene, the gang comes up. And then later on, you see the gang come up and then another gang car come up. And then. I think they later on, after they like beat up Will Smith that night, he goes to kill them, and you see that whole scene.
Yeah. I thought it was either that, or I initially thought that someone else just became the, because that was the main guy of the gang. So I thought someone else, because there's other people there, like, why'd you have to go and hit him like that and stuff? Like, they weren't exactly agreeing with him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
it
the
was
driver that was
gang.
A driver that was speaking. The driver of the same car.
He could
so.
Have just been the douchebag in the gang who's the head of it. I don't know, but. But that
no,
that
the way I saw it was another. It was another gang that came in and took over.
I
and
also
that was the whole thing. That guy was like the leader or whatever.
I also took it as like word was starting to spread about these tennis players from Compton that were like killing it, and I think that was starting to like spread around the community, and they're like, oh, we know who you are, like you're the fucking great tennis players from that area. But yeah, I don't think it was totally clear whether it was the rival gang
it.
That took him out or the
I doubt it because. Even at the time, like they say at that meeting, there's like, we have a whole demographic we're not getting to. And Richard is like, this is why we chose it. Cause there's a bunch of white people. Like there's nothing dangerous or anything that's going to go on here. Like, I think maybe that's what this whole thing. Cause you know, even like basketball, like, you know, if you're just dealing with a sport, maybe like in his mind, it was going to be less dangerous for his girls. But he mentions at one point, when they're at that meeting, he's like, "That's why we chose tennis because they're all white."
Yeah.
Oh, he says that.
I thought that was just thinking
very,
like maybe
I thought
the
that was
word,
very interesting. I don't
maybe
think
the word was spreading around the community. I don't know. Maybe not, but it's up
and
for
it may
interpretation.
Have been. I just think that the gang saw them like working hard, and that new gang had a different appreciation for it than the old gang did. The old gang was just like trying to fuck his daughters, and the new gang was like, "I see what you're doing." Maybe the word was starting to spread, and they were like, "Oh yeah, we're hearing about you." Like. We're gonna protect you now, and like you know, you can do your thing.
That was another
thing.
So
maybe all that was
how they portrayed Richard as like they were just trying to fuck his daughters and stuff, and him. They did a good job of him like being a father, like leader, you know, dad type thing. I thought they portrayed him in a really good light in that respect throughout the movie as well.
Was I the only one who would get like? I went throughout the movie, and I'll elaborate this more in my review, but was I the only one who was like, I would really like him in one scene, and then I would just get so annoyed with him in other scenes? Like, the way that he was handling the whole, like, sitting out the daughters, and it was like, I was getting fed up with, like, how he fires the first coach, who's, like, one of the greatest coaches of all time, and then he brings in the second coach, another good deal. And then he's like, he's almost taking it. I thought he was kind of taking advantage of the coach a little bit, like how we were kind of laughing earlier, where he's like, they turned down the deal. And then he's just like, oh, let's go get dinner. Like, you know, Rick's buying or whatever. Like, there's a few scenes like that where it's like, you could turn down the deal and be smart about this, but you're kind of being an asshole at the same time. Like, I was having this love hate relationship.
Yeah,
with him.
Well, he knew he had all the cards, and like you said, like he didn't tell Rick Macy that he was holding them out of juniors when he got there. And then Rick Macy paid for an RV for them. He paid for like all their stuff, their house they're living in, the nice house they're living in. And so the more years that he's just waiting, he's losing money. You know, he's actually
he's
literally spending money. Year
also,
after year.
Also, yeah,
but
I don't get
but
why
eventually make it.
Why
back.
Was the first time when they were going to the country club and he was just like. You guys don't eat any of the food here. Like, somebody else is paying for this. It's not free. He went from, like, you can't do that, to then when he's on Rick's bill, he's like, oh, I got to go, you know, eat what you want. Like, I'm eating a cheeseburger
at the
bar.
I think a contract had been signed at that point because that country club had, like, hooks in it.
My wife
going to
be saying, I'm cheating on her with all this food.
But he had a contract that they would pay for all of it, I think.
Like, on one hand, he's talking about, like, not being braggadocious and being humble, but then he gets in this position of power, and then he's almost being hypocritical because he's like, I'm going to kind of leverage this. And it's like one thing to leverage your value and your daughter's value, but he was kind of being like cocky about it in a way.
No, he was. And like, obviously he wasn't a perfect person. He had his flaws, and I think he was very radical about it. And it wasn't. And like I said, I feel like his wife was helping to make a lot of the correct decisions. You even see those scenes. I really like the scenes with just between him and his wife where, you know, she's like, don't you think this is like a team decision that we should be making? Right. I mean, you're making all these decisions. It's not even your life. We're both parents. I help that girl serve. I change her stance. The reason you got the stance is for me.
For sure.
The reason her serve is good is for me. like, we're a team in this, and you're kind of excluding me from the
decision making.
From, you know, she's like, you made a fool of me. He's like, I didn't make a fool of you. She's like, you made a fool of me. But I liked all those scenes because it. Sports movies, I feel like sports movies specifically can be really difficult, and I don't think it was until I saw Moneyball that I was like, wow, there's this side of sports movies that can be really, really interesting, but it doesn't have to be flooded with sports. Yeah. And I feel like that's what this movie was. It was a father-daughter film, and it was about, you know, there was a lot of tennis in it, and when they did do the tennis, it was accurate. I also feel like with sports movies, to get the sports really, really accurate and really intense, especially for people that are really into the game, to notice that kind of stuff and the style. I mean, there's probably stuff that we didn't even notice as far as tennis goes that, you know, professional players are like looking at like, oh, there's a flaw, right. Whatever.
Maybe. But
I think overall they did a really good – with what they did show, they did really excellent.
Yeah, and it was really cool seeing tennis – portrayed like this, because I don't know that much about tennis, specifically that sport, but like learning about tennis was kind of cool and how they did it, and it made me interested in something.
We used to
play
tennis all the time.
I know,
you guys remember,
dude,
remember I was having
flashbacks to when they were playing tennis in the rain and they were hitting the wet tennis balls. I instantly had these flashbacks of like the feeling of hitting a wet tennis ball in the rain, like the ball just pops so much. And it's like such an interesting like feeling. And Rachel was like, when were you playing tennis in the rain? And I just had these flashbacks of like going to Covington Ridge in the summer and it would start raining on us. So we were like, fuck it, we're at the pool. We're going to play tennis in the rain. Like, I just had all these flashbacks of like
I had
all these
I
moments of playing
Nick
tennis
with,
in high school with Raph and Ryan. We used to go
when they would pop a fresh can. And
I got that feel.
I was like, oh man, that is nice.
What
I remember we went through a pretty big tennis phase, and it was fun because the thing about tennis is if you could buy a racket and some balls, you can usually go to areas like East Cobb and drive around, and you can just go into a neighborhood and usually find a court that's open and go and play in it. So like even if you don't. Like basketball is kind of harder because you have to find a court.
Right.
No, it's the same. It's the same. Like, you know, it's easy. Both of those are way easier than getting a bunch of kids to play baseball or even like golf. You have to spend a bunch
of
money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sports like
100%. It was something like even though it was kind of a more upscale sport, like as long as you had a racket and a ball, you could go find courts. And we never had a court that we could always go to, but we would just. I remember just going around, and I remember specifically driving around looking for the fence post. And I would be like, all right, there's one in that neighborhood. Like, let's go over there. And we would go. And if we could get into the court, we would get into the court. And it wasn't, I mean, we played baseball and a bunch of other sports, but
the tennis courts
were really driving around.
Remember, we used to sneak into the Dorsett ones. We used to have to climb the fence because at one point, Trent didn't have the membership to the pool. I remember he stopped getting like the membership, so he wasn't getting the access code. So we used to climb that fence and get in there. And I feel like once or twice we got caught and like got kicked out.
Yeah, we did some things.
God, I miss playing
in the
summer,
dude.
Fine, we're
gonna go do drugs and other stuff.
Go to the pool.
We can't play tennis.
Go to the pool and like getting really hot, playing tennis. Play like a few games, and then just like go get in the pool. Come back out in your swimsuit. Like that's the shit about Georgia I really miss. Like, and I look back with like fond memories of like the summertime in Georgia. It's just those memories at the pool when it's hot as shit, and you're just like. Playing tennis and all that stuff was really fun, but the only other thing I was gonna say that was cringy to me was like, all right, dude, whether the open stance worked or not is up for debate, but like this dude is a professional coach. Like, shut up, like keep your mouth shut. He's like, you got him to do it for free, and he's out there teaching your daughter and you're telling him how to do his job. And it reminded me of every like sports, like dads on my, you know, playing sports growing up, and the one dad on the fucking bench who's always telling kids how to play. And it's like, dude, just shut up, let the coaches coach. This dude teaches Pete Sampras, like he knows what he's doing. And I was like, he's about to just ruin
Johnny McEnroe.
He's about to ruin this whole situation. Like, that's when I felt like he was getting like on my nerves for sure.
Yeah.
No, and he was, and I remember that part, and I feel bad for the guy because he was like, yeah, we no longer need your services, and he's like, no one's gonna take him for free if they're not playing in juniors, and he's like, you did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he did.
He did you a favor.
You're right. He absolutely did. But yeah, boys, I think we done squeezed the sauce out of this bottle. There's some more sauce we could all take a little bit home and put him in a take-home jar, but we've squeezed the majority of the sauce.
Let's give our
out
reviews
and
pack up those to-go boxes.
Let's give our reviews of the Oscars.
Microwave stuff.
All right. We'll first give our review. Right, give our review of Chris Rock and Will Smith, and then give your follow-up review of the movie.
Okay.
I already gave my review on that. Let's give him a review about King James the movie.
King Richard.
King James. The movie. King James.
King Richard. I mean, King Richard. It's because of LeBron James. I follow him on Instagram, and that's his Instagram handle is King times. James.
I was like, what is that?
Every time I think I see King, for some reason, I just default to James because of LeBron James. All right, King Richard. Good movie. Great acting. I thought he did a very good job. This is another movie just like Concussion where this isn't really far off, but Concussion is an African doctor. So when he plays that character and goes into that accent and everything like that, you're really, really taken away from like who Will Smith is. This one is still taken away, but not as far, I feel, as Concussion. But I like that I saw Will in this. His cadence and his accent, the way he said things. It was just, like you said, he had that Will Smith, that funny, you know, his funny humor. And I think a lot of the acting was good. I forgot what his name from Walking Dead. That dude, I really liked him in the movie. He was his whole character. I loved him from the first second I saw him. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I've always seen this guy in, like, these different roles. And never in this role, and he's killing it in this role, and I was just really happy to see that. It was cool to watch the actual true story, because like I never knew about this. I never knew about the crazy dad. I mean, we were obviously really young or not even around, you know, when they were really, you know, getting big to know what was going on in the media at the time. But apparently his dad was going on in the media at the time. Listening to the director talk in that podcast was really insightful. So, you know, I like a good biopic. I just really do. Ray, I mean, we've done Ray in the past. I like a really good Hollywood version. There's a lot to be said about the documentary versions. Like you talked about the Tiger Woods documentary. And I'd like to see that. But I would really love to see a Hollywood. It's almost like if I watch a really, really good Hollywood biopic or just a I'll usually get interested in that subject, and then I'll want to go do more research, and that's when I want to go see the documentaries and things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But so for me, biopics like this are really, really important, and I do like them. You can see, hear, smell, touch where they were. Taste. And I remember I was like kind of watching some of this, and I was like kind of distracted and not looking, and I was like, this is just... You really can't just even listen to a movie like this. You just have to really watch every second of it. But all in all, I think it's not the best movie in the world. It's not the worst movie in the world. I feel like I'm above 3.5, but I'm under 4. I don't really know. I'm kind of in between 3.5 and 4 on this one. Mm. I haven't really seriously considered it until this moment. I think
3.75.
Give it to us straight.
I think I'm going to go 4. I think it was a good 4-star movie just because it was true story. I like any true story movie where they really go into depth and they, you know, do the proper research, at least I assume, because the Williams sisters just sign off on this. And it's like you don't know this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to go 4.
All right. Okay. 4 stars. Poopsie. Nice.
Respectable.
Our special guest.
I'll keep mine short and sweet. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really well done. I liked Will Smith's acting. I thought the girls did really great acting. I thought they really portrayed the family lifestyle and everything. And yeah, no, Will just did a great job overall. Yeah, I don't have too much bad things to say about this. So personally for me, I just really enjoyed it, and I'm going to give it an easy 4.
That's another easy 4. Four. Easy four like four. Sunday morning. Trey, what do you think?
Who's cleaning up? You want to clean up, Nick?
I can clean up.
Nick is a professional cleaning up at Halo. He's always cleaning up.
Trent loves to run with that oddball, though, so let's let him run third here, and I'll clean it up.
Okay, Nick would wait till we fought it out, and then he would come in for the nice sweeping cleanup.
God, I miss Halo.
So I'll try to...
true, Halo days.
I'm going to try really hard to bar here the slap heard around the world out of my review.
Yeah,
but there were
out.
I saw he
Trent,
gets,
did you watch it? Did you watch the movie before the slap?
No, I watched it after.
Watch it after.
And there is a scene
okay,
where
that makes sense.
There's a scene where Will Smith gets slapped, and I'm like,
he gets disrespected.
Damn, this is disrespectful and humiliating, right? Like, you know, like yeah. I honestly I thought right? that. And yeah, so I don't know. I definitely saw it in a different way, unfortunately, because but I think taking that away from this, it's still got that Will Smith stamp on it of like the feel good, like work hard, get ahead, you know, let's fucking grind and fucking do this. And like you guys said, great acting. I won't be redundant here. It was good movie, well filmed, good story. Love that it was a true story. 2 hours and 30 minutes, a little long, but pretty good length for something like this. I think, Academy Award winning, I think worth it for Will Smith getting that. I think it's probably a 4-star for me as well. It's worth that. It's worth that for
Ooh,
me.
4-star nice. From T. Millie.
Are we going to go all the way around 4 stars or what, is Nick?
I don't
Nick's
know.
Your
influence.
Nick
in
says,
here comes a 1-5.
Yeah. Nick, throw the wrench. 1.5.
Will Smith didn't cry, and I just really feel like if he cried, he made it for me.
No, I'm going to be in a similar vein here. To Trent's point, it was a little weird watching it after everything that went down, but it didn't impact my review one way or the other. I think he's so good at just adapting to so many different roles. At the beginning, I was like, what kind of accent is he trying to do? Like, I don't know if he's doing this on purpose. And then when I learned about the Cajun thing, I was like, oh, this makes sense. But yeah, just a great sports movie, like Steven said, but it had more of an angle to it that wasn't just like strictly just like a sports movie. It was definitely a movie about, you know, family and kind of determination and all that lovey-dovey stuff. But it was like packaged very well. The only reason I'm not going higher is because I did get annoyed with his character, and I get that was kind of the point of it, like kind of showing the dark and light of his character. I just got a little bit annoyed with him throughout the movie. I was like, dude, you're being so hypocritical right now. Like, you're not practicing what you're preaching. But once he kind of came to terms with that, he like turned a new leaf and was like becoming like a better dad and supporting the kids more. I started coming around more. But yeah, great acting. I loved the girls in the movie. They were really good. I loved all the tennis shots, all the tennis montages, all the like back and forth scenes of them like hitting it and like, you know, it felt like a real tennis match the way that they were shooting it, which I liked. My only gripe at the end is I felt like the ending was a little bit of a surprise. I didn't really see that coming as like the climax of the movie. And I get like, it makes sense that she lost the match and then she got the sponsorship. And it like, even though she lost, she still got all this endorsement and fame and accolades and whatever. But like, I would have really loved to see her like come out on top, like win her final match. And that, like, I was kind of taken off guard. Like, I thought she would maybe lose that match and then come back and win like a bigger match.
That's what I was
so thinking. I was a little bit caught off guard by the ending. It felt a little bit abrupt, and I don't know if they set it up as well as they could have to be like the climax of the movie. So that's the only reason I'm not going to go higher, but still a solid 4-star movie. We're all in agreement.
Ooh, all around. Wow. That's,
4s all around.
That's kind of impressive.
I do agree. I think a lot of the world saw her more of her professional career firsthand, and no one was really able to see that early career with those early videos. So I think overall, if you ask me what part of the story do you want to see, I would probably say I'd want to see this one. And then if there was ever a movie in the future, maybe from that point, continue on and like, yeah, you know, show us a Hollywood version of, you know, beyond that. But I did like what they did with it. I I don't love sports. I like interesting. I like different sports like drifting and surfing and things like that. So these kind of movies, but like I said, Moneyball was another sports movie recently that I got really into. And
as
I
long as Steven there's not much loves sports Moneyball, in a sports God, movie. If I had a dollar for every time Steven brings up Moneyball,
no, I like different approaches. I mean, I've seen Field of Dreams and all really heavily based movies, and that's fine. But to have movies like this that take interesting takes on it, and it's not just shoving the sport down your throat the entire time, it's actually getting into some drama stuff and, you know, showing the behind the scenes and, you know, the struggles that it went to get to these points, you know, showing that. So I like that. Boys, do we have a freak league?
One other thing really quick. We have to touch on this. I don't think anyone's mentioned this. The soundtrack of this movie was really, really good too. And the beginning scenes, they were playing Sissy Strut by the Meters, which is like a really popular funk song. And they had some like good, like when some of those montage scenes, they had some like good throwback, like soul and like funk music that I was
I
was vibing to.
Beyonce at the end.
Yeah, they had Beyonce. Yeah, good soundtrack.
I was going to say this.
Rural California.
This was a, for those listeners, this was an emergency pod. We had to get this one out. We do apologize because last episode we did say the Freak Leak, which is for next week. American Pie,
yes,
is coming next week for y'all. But yeah, emergency pod this week. Had
well, don't
to
look
out.
Up is actually don't look up will be coming out. American Pie will be coming out. We might
Interstellar.
Release
this will be after Steven. This will be way after. We got Interstellar. Like, there's a couple episodes by
the
time this one.
Interstellar too.
Yeah. So. You know, we'll see what order we do. We do want to get this one out soon to y'all because it just happened.
I'm excited for Interstellar.
So wait, is it my freak leak on the leak?
No, it's
Steven,
American Pie is next. We still got to record that.
We still have to freak a leak for the next episode.
That's American Pie.
We'll freak that on American Pie. We can't do a 2Q freak leak.
Oh yeah. Because then we wouldn't have anything to freak on American Pie. You're right. We'll wait to freak that leak. We're gonna hold our freak leak.
I got all excited. I want to hear a little leak.
I know.
Well, American Pie. American Pie will be the leak.
All right, boys. This was fun. It was a good episode with a lot of sauce. My fingers are... I need a lot of napkins. My fingers are covered in sauce.
A lot of sauce. I got wet naps everywhere over here.
Good to see you, Presti.
The Hypocritical Podcast. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at @hypocritic_podcast. That was 5 stars and a review. Boys... Don't slap anyone, okay? It's not right.
No slapping.
Hypocritic Podcast. Out.